Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for holding. At this time, we would like to welcome you to the conference call for Ourofino Saúde Animal. Today, we have with us Mr. Jardel Massari, CEO, and Mr. Kleber Gomes, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and simultaneously translated. All participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Ensuing this, we will go on to the question and answer section when further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We have a simultaneous webcast that may be accessed through Ourofino's website at ir.ourofino.com at the webcast third quarter 2018 banner. The slide presentation will be also presented there. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that any forward-looking statements made during this call refer to beliefs and assumptions of Ourofino's management and are based on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Ourofino, causing results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. We would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Jardel Massari. Mr. Massari, you may proceed, sir.
A good afternoon to all of you. Once again, we would like to thank all of you for participating in our earnings conference call for the third quarter 2018. In this third quarter, the company has continued to show consistency in its results with a growth in revenues, an increase in gross margin, and dilution of expenses, thus achieving higher performance indicators such as adjusted EBITDA margin of 26% and an adjusted net margin of 15%. In addition, financial leverage continues at low levels of net debt adjusted EBITDA of 1.7 times. As a result of good cash generation from operations in the year, despite the strategic decision to maintain higher levels of inventories, especially raw materials, and also the resumption of the calculation of adjusted EBITDA for 12 months, which totals 136 million. With respect to gross margin, we had a 50% increase vis-à-vis the 9 months before and compared to 2017. With respect to the production animal segment, the net revenue increased 22% and reached 127 million, with a gross margin of 55%, an increase of 2 percentage points vis-à-vis the same quarter in 2017. These results show better product prices as well as our successful participation in 2018 in Expo Inter, one of the most important fairs in the sector. We would also like to mention the excellent work of our sales team, which has been crucial for these achievements, and the improvement of our demand generation program, including visits of our team to veterinarians to farms throughout Brazil. As regards the companion animal segment, operations were performed as planned, and net revenues reached 18 million in the quarter, an increase of 12% vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017, despite the macroeconomic conditions in Brazil that are still in a phase of recovery. Our team of technical advisors continues making visits to veterinarians, which has proved to be important to foster dealer sell-out, thus helping to maintain their inventories at healthy levels. In terms of international operations, net revenue totaled 16 million, an increase of 52% vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017, in line with the company's growth plan and product launches. Mexico and Colombia already represent more than two-thirds of revenues from international operations, which shows the execution of our strategic internationalization plan. It is important to underscore that the growth presented took place substantially in local currency and also resulted from a favorable foreign exchange rate. Thanks to all of this, we remain confident in the generation of value, along with the strong growth drivers of the animal health market, which have been materializing. Additionally, we would like to emphasize that our entire team is very committed to continue implementing the company business plan in the coming periods. We would like to thank all of you for your confidence in our work. I would now like to pass the floor to our IRO and CFO, Kleber Gomes, who will comment on the results for the period.
Thank you, Jardel. Good afternoon to all of you. The company posted a net revenue of 160 million in the third quarter 2018, a growth of 23% vis-à-vis the same quarter in 2017. In the 9 months of the year, net revenues was 414 million, with an increase of 21% vis-à-vis the same period in 2017. The animal production segment had net revenues of 130 million, an expansion of 22% vis-à-vis 2017. In the 9 months of 2018, net revenues were of 322 million, a growth of 22%. This growth was due to increase in volumes and price gains in the entire line. In the companion animal segment, the net revenue was of 18 million in the third quarter, a growth of 12% vis-à-vis the same quarter 2017. In the 9 months, net revenues for companion animals was of 56 million, a growth of 20% vis-à-vis the same period in 2017. This, once again, was due to volume increases and price gains throughout the line. The international operations segment had net revenues of 16 million in this quarter, an increase of 51% vis-à-vis the same quarter 2017. In the 9 months of 2018, net revenue was of 36 million, a growth of 13%. With the impact of the sale of vaccines against foot and mouth disease in Bolivia and Paraguay amounting to 5 million, and that did not occur in 2018. Once again, the growth of revenues in local currency is fundamental for our results. Now, comments on gross margin. In the third quarter of 2018, gross margin was of 57%, an increase of 2 percentage points vis-à-vis the same quarter in 2017. In the 9 months, the gross margin was 56%, once again with a growth of 2 percentage points vis-à-vis the same period in 2017. The production animal segment had a gross margin of 55% in the third quarter, with an increase of 2 percentage points compared to the third quarter of 2017. In the 9 months of 2018, gross margin was of 52%, once again with an increase of 2 percentage points. These results reflect price gains in the periods, especially in the anti-parasitic line. In the companion animal segment, the gross margin was 67% in the third quarter, moving back 2 percentage points vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017 because of a less favorable mix. In the 9 months of 2018, gross margin was 71%, a growth of 0.5 percentage points with a price gain during the year. The international operations segment had a gross margin of 63%, with a growth of 6 percentage points vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017. For the 9 months of 2018, gross margin was 64%, a growth of 12 percentage points. These results reflect a better mix in the periods and gains due to a favorable exchange rate. We will now speak about SG&A and EBITDA. SG&A during the third quarter of 2018 amounted to $56 million, with a dilution of 1 percentage point vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017. In the 9 months of the year, expenses amounted to $154 million, a dilution of 3 percentage points vis-à-vis the same period in 2017. These results reflect the strategy of expense optimization adopted by the company during the last 2 years, along with a continued expansion of revenues in the last 5 quarters. Adjusted EBITDA totaled $42 million, with a growth of 41% vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017, with a margin of 26%, an increase of 3 percentage points compared to the same period the previous year. In the 9 months of 2018, adjusted EBITDA was of $95 million, an increase of 50% compared to the 9 months of 2017, and a margin of 23%, a growth of 5 percentage points compared to the same period in 2017. These results reflect a growth of revenues with an increase in gross margin, along with a dilution of expenses in SG&A. We will now speak about net financial expenses, income tax, social contribution, and net income. Financial expenses in the third quarter amounted to $3 million, a reduction of 22% vis-à-vis the third quarter of 2017. In the 9 months of 2018, financial expenses amounted to $10 million, a reduction of 17% compared to 2017. The average cost of debt was up 7.8% at the close of the third quarter and went to 7% upon the close of the quarter in 2018. Income tax and social contribution amounted to $7 million, nominally in line with the same period of 2017, but less representative vis-à-vis the profit before taxes. In the 9 months of 2018, IR and CS were of $16 million compared to $10 million in the 9 months of 2017. And once again, there is a discrepancy in our accounting results, but it reflects the increase in profitability. Adjusted net profit in the third quarter amounted to $25 million, a growth of 84% vis-à-vis the third quarter of 2017, with a net margin of 15%, an increase of 5 percentage points vis-à-vis the third quarter 2017. In the 9 months of 2018, net income was of $49 million, an increase of 120% vis-à-vis the 9 months of 2017, with a net margin of 12% and a growth of 5 percentage points vis-à-vis the same period in 2017. This because of the growth of EBITDA for the reasons mentioned previously, along with a reduction in net financial expenses and the payments in income tax and social contribution during the period. We would now like to refer to indebtedness in the company. Net debt over EBITDA stood at 1.7 times compared to 3 times in the third quarter 2017. The average cost of the debt was 7% a year at the closing of the quarter, vis-a-vis 7.2 a year for the third quarter 2017. These values incorporate bank guarantees in some lines and also the derivative values. Our cash attained $66 million thanks to the amortizations in financing carried out during the quarter. We would now like to speak about the company's cash generation, and we underscore that in the 9 months to 18, the cash generation was $53 million. Because of an increase in our inventory, especially in raw material purchases from China and pilot batches for the new foot and mouth disease vaccines in the 2-millimeter format. We also amortized debt, paid interest and proceeds totaling $166 million. fundraising amounted to $105 million with a rollover of debt, improving the indebtedness profile in the long term. The average cost of debt on September 30th was of 6.99%, accounting the cost of derivatives and associated guarantees. Finally, we would like to highlight the investments in research and development that totaled $28 million, representing 7% of net revenue for the period. This percentage is aligned with our historical average and shows that we continue to invest in our growth and sustainability. I would like to return the floor to the operator to continue on with the question and answer section. Thank you. We will now go on to the question and answer section. Should you have a question, please press star one. Mr. Joseph Giordano from J.P. Morgan would like to pose a question. A good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for taking my question. In truth, there are two. The first refers to the competitive environment and which is your outlook of this environment. The second refers to prices. It seems that the foot and mouth disease campaign in the first semester with a change of device might have caused a displacement in volume. And what is happening with the price environment? Is the framework better? Is the interest rate framework better? And what is happening with your inventory? We do know that you have increased inventories and would like to know if they are now normalized. Thank you for your question. Let us begin with a competitive environment. We tend to say it is not at all easy. The market has large multinational players with high-quality products as well, but Orofino tries to set itself aside. For example, we work straight with distributors, with farmers. We have very focused marketing with several initiatives, including a TV channel, a generation demand program, which is one of the largest in Brazil. So we try to set ourselves aside, and based on the results we have presented, we think we're on the right path. This is the fifth quarter of growth with double-digit growth. Therefore, I think this shows the strength of Orofino and how we have set ourselves aside in the market. When it comes to prices, what we have been saying since 2017 is that we had a more difficult positioning in China because of the environmental issues. This has an impact on raw materials, and our strategy is to try to transfer this to the clients. We have done this throughout the entire year and throughout the chain of production. We have been successful. Prices are quite aligned with what we budgeted. Now, this year, as this is the last year for the marketing of the 5-milliliter vaccine, what we expected in our budget was to have a somewhat more complicated year. Because of the 5-milliliter, we would have to have changes in the industry and in resale. We began the year with a conservative outlook because of this. The first campaign that was launched between April and May was very positive for Orofino. In fact, some of the market players, especially the public sector, had their batches that were not validated because of the certification of the government to validate the quality of the vaccine. And because of this, the first campaign was somewhat tight in terms of volume, and we had a better semester than expected at Orofino. Part of the volume destined to the second campaign had to be shifted to the first campaign. We now might have a stronger demand in the second campaign. We have lower volumes for this second campaign, but everything is proceeding normally. We haven't faced very different situations, and this was a positive point for the year. In terms of inventories and channels, I think this is something of the past. It's something we discussed in 2016. 2017 was a year where we underwent adjustment. We have left this in the past. We're working with the distributors, with the pit line, monitoring indicators month after month, and we have a very close control of our distributor inventories. We are at planned levels, very well-controlled levels, and in production animal channel, which is somewhat more difficult, we have been able to grow, which shows that the channels do have normal inventory levels. We don't expect any problems in this. I hope I have responded to your question. Thank you very much. Finally, to take advantage of the fact I am on the line, in terms of your biologics plan for new products, I would like to know what you're thinking of in terms of short-term launches and what is happening with the ramp-up of your production capacity.
Well, the plant is ready. We have already remarked on this since the end of the second quarter. We had already run several pilot phases, and we will have a surprise on Orofino Day. I don't want to ruin this surprise. The expectation is to begin with a low contribution the coming year and continue on with the ramp-up. Why don't we leave this for Orofino Day? You will have a good surprise.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good afternoon.
I'm looking here, and it seems we have a question from Pedro Ferreira, who came through the site. If we're speaking about the new plant, no, we don't have any contribution from biologicals in 2018. Another question, if you could remark on your international operations in greater detail, structure and sales, and what you expect in terms of results. I'll refer to the second question. Since our IPO, we mentioned that one of the pillars of growth would be our internationalization. Initially, we worked in our backyard, which is Latin America. Very naturally, we went to Mexico, which is the second-largest market, which is in animal health, and Colombia, the third-largest market in Latin America. These are recent operations. We manufacture everything in Brazil and have sales and marketing teams that are local in Mexico and Colombia. These markets have considerable potential. The best market, of course, in Latin America is Brazil, but these markets have a huge growth potential. We are the third company with the greatest growth in Colombia in 2017, and the second company with greatest growth in Mexico. The growth is 50%, and we think we're on a good path in these countries. What is important is that our portfolio was not registered. It was reinforced in Colombia and Mexico beginning in 2017 and 2018, opening up new. At this point, we will end the question and answer session. I will return the floor to Mr. Jardel Masari for his final remarks. We're in the third quarter of 2018 with excellent results. We're also heading towards the closing in fourth quarter with a year of robust results according to our expectations. We would like to thank all of you for your attention and have a good afternoon. The third quarter 2018 conference call for Orofino ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good afternoon.